Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would, please open your Bibles to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. This is God's Word. "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish, vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumbles, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in their power, or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I've seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil, but he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, folks, we're getting awfully close to Thanksgiving. But, there are a lot of people who are finding this Thanksgiving a little different. Families that are not sure, you know, how many people do we invite? It's tough to eat outdoors in cold weather, and it's tough to eat indoors with a face mask on. But, what are we going to do? Well, that's not what is distressing a lot of people right now. What's distressing a lot of people is feeling as if wicked people are getting away with something. People who clearly are crooked and downright wicked, who seem to be prospering. Oh, how do we deal with that? I sometimes feel that certain things people say and do are a personal affront. Not that they have me in mind, but it's like they seem to be challenging anybody out there who's sane and just. Because how could you possibly think that this is okay? How could you possibly think that these folks are telling the truth? How could you possibly believe the lies that are being shoveled at us relentlessly in the media? I mean, do they really expect us to believe that stuff? Does that ever irritate you? If we're not careful, we can be robbed of joy and fail to obey God who says we're to rejoice and give thanks. We enter his presence with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not just a big meal once a year. Thanksgiving is a time when we give thanks to God. We've got tons of pagans who talk about Thanksgiving and celebrate Thanksgiving and have no idea who to thank. We say, well, let's be sure and thank these folks, and let's be sure and thank these folks. It's fine to thank those people. But if you're not thanking God, you have missed the point of the holiday. This is a time when we give thanks to God. And for Christians, it shouldn't just be once a year. We are supposed to live a life of thanksgiving. We are supposed to rejoice in the Lord always. But one of the things that will hinder us from celebrating Thanksgiving is when we see wicked people doing wicked things and seemingly getting away with it. Let's look at what it says. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away. Now, in verses 1 through 8, we are told something we must not do three times. Three times in verses 1 through 8, we are told the same thing over and over. Do not fret. Do not fret. Do not fret. Now, that's clear. When my son plays the guitar, you see these little lines across the neck of the instrument. Those are called frets. They are stopping points. If you put your finger with pressure on the string at that stopping point, it changes the note. And if you and I aren't careful, we're going to get stuck focusing on stuff that's going to have us doing the wrong note. Where instead of singing praise to God, we're going to be singing complaint. We're going to be upset instead of rejoicing. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. You know why? Because it's all temporary. It is all temporary. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Like the grass, they'll soon wither.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Well, we're not only told do not fret, but we're given a list of things that we are to do. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Look at verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. We're given a list of stuff we're supposed to be doing, but we're not going to do those things well if we're focused on what those people over there are doing. Have you ever been distracted from what you were supposed to be doing because somebody else wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing? And so you want to stop doing what you're doing in order to straighten them out. That's what this is talking about. There's a bunch of stuff we're supposed to be doing, and we're not going to do it if we're fretting about evil people doing evil things. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Does that mean that you can have just any old thing, no matter how frivolous, no matter how ridiculous, no matter how selfish? No, because then you're not delighting yourself in the Lord. But if you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires will be in line with his desires. You will be wanting his name to be hallowed, his kingdom to come, his will to be done. And God will grant that. He promised he will. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Commit your way to the Lord. Notice how many times it says forever, 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 forever in this passage. Because the perspective that we are to live with is in light of eternity. We are to conduct ourselves, including our rejoicing, including our not fretting, by keeping our eyes on the Lord and realizing that everything is going to be straightened out by him, and we will be with him forever. When it says later in the psalm that the Lord will not leave them in the power of the wicked or let them be condemned when brought to trial, I would have to say that that verse really isn't true if it was just talking about this life. My ancestor, Roland Taylor, was found guilty of heresy because he preached the truth of the gospel, which was illegal in his day, because the church, so-called, had made it illegal. And so because he preached the truth, he was put on trial. He would not back down. He would not recant. He invited them to show him in the scriptures, very much like Luther did. Show me where it says what you're saying. Prove to me from the scriptures that I'm wrong, and I will recant. Otherwise, I can't recant. And so he didn't. And so they burned him at the stake. burned him alive. Well, this says the Lord will not let you be condemned when brought to trial. Well, see, those folks thought that they had the highest court, but they didn't. Right now in this country, there are some very serious matters that are going before various judges, and different judges are ruling differently, and various things are being explored. And there's always the possibility that some of those decisions will get appealed by either party all the way up to the Supreme Court. And if it gets to the Supreme Court, which I don't know that it will, but if it gets to the Supreme Court, I don't know what the Supreme Court will say. But what I do know is that the Supreme Court is not supreme. And regardless of what the Supreme Court of the United States says, there is a judge who knows everything. Everybody is going to stand before a judge who knows everything. Okay? I mean, it's not like God's going to say, well, I can tell something here is amiss, but, I don't have enough evidence to convict. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us stand condemned apart from Jesus Christ. But even though all of us have sinned and God sees not just our actions, but the thoughts and intents of our heart, God has provided a sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the righteous, who not only bore the penalty for our sin, but who robes us now in his righteousness, so that when we stand before God, those who are in Christ, our sins are as far as east is from west. And God sees us as holy and righteous in his sight on the basis of Jesus. Notice that it says, verse 39 and 40, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. Doesn't come from our good works. Doesn't come from our faithfulness. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Where are you taking refuge? Where are you looking for salvation? Who are you trusting in to rescue you? Because it's not just those people who've sinned. It's all of us. Well, Pastor, I hope you're not suggesting that no matter what happens, we shouldn't care. No, I think we should care. But we shouldn't fret. God says, do not fret. Do not fret. Instead, we are supposed to trust in the Lord, delight ourselves in the Lord, commit our way to the Lord, be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their way. That's what it says, verse 7. Do not fret when they succeed, when they carry out their wicked schemes. But it's wicked. Yeah. And they planned it. Yeah. And they succeeded. Well, it looks that way. Well, how am I supposed to not fret? Well, because you need to trust in the Lord and do good. You need to delight yourself in the Lord. You need to commit your way to the Lord. And you need to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And you need to refrain from anger. Don't miss this. Verse 8. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Well, I just can't help it. It's the way I'm wired. It's my genes. You can, by God's grace, refrain from anger and turn away from wrath. You can do that. It's a choice. God gives you the power to say no. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. How do you do that? Forgive. Forgive. As God has forgiven you. Well, so do I have to pretend that what they did was not bad? No, that's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not insanity. It's not pretending that the person didn't do anything wrong. Well, Pastor, what is it that has you really riled? Well, you know, there's a lot going on out there that's wrong. Guy who has been pastor of various churches until he went to prison because he was a convicted swindler who stole from old people by gaining their confidence and telling them he had a great way for them to invest for their retirement. And I mean, this is not hearsay. This is his criminal record. But if you find him on LinkedIn, this guy is still out there now that he's out of prison, presenting himself as having been a life coach who specializes in helping high-performing professionals take their work to the next level. He's got his doctorate, which he got years ago, and he's happy to tell you that he's been doing this for decades, without mentioning that part of that time was spent in prison. Does God forgive? Yeah, but he doesn't forgive liars unless they repent. And if you repent, you don't keep lying. You don't keep presenting yourself as something you're not. Well, does that bother you, Pastor? What bothers me is not just those individuals. It's the enablers who tell them, good job, so glad. We're looking forward to hearing your sermons. You know, if I'm not careful, I could fret about that. If I get focused on that stuff, it's going to be a worse Thanksgiving than the year that I went to cook the turkey and it had gone bad in the fridge. I was over there at the store trying to find what they had left. That was a number of years ago. And just so you don't worry about me, we did get another good turkey and bring it home and cook it, and it was delicious. But I'm telling you, Thanksgiving is not about turkey. It's about giving thanks to God. But folks, if you're like me, your Thanksgiving is going to be a lot better if you are reminded not to fret about evildoers, not to allow your focus to get off of God and onto what wicked people are doing. Because wicked, wicked people are doing wicked, wicked things. And I realize that there may be some people who are still listening up to this point, still watching, and who get the feeling that I'm suggesting that one group in the current national controversy is more unrighteous than the other. Let me just tell you this. There's sin in both camps. There's sin in both camps. But one group celebrates the idea of killing children. And they want everybody to pay for it. And anybody who supports that is going to answer to God for it. Well, you sound like maybe you're still fretting a little bit. No, I have a responsibility to proclaim what God says. And God says that murder is not okay. And we're living in a culture that is saying, well, certain murders aren't murders. And certain sexual sins are not sin. It's sin. And the only hope for sinners is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Where's your refuge? Who are you trusting in? Trust in Jesus, and you will be able to give thanks with joy.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.